with a sermon entitled, We Choose Life. This series is based on one of our practical commitments, our practical commitment on social obligation. And we've talked about our obligation to be a part and to let our voice be known in voting. We've talked about our obligation that we have to reach out and help those in need. And the other part of that social obligation is our obligation to stand up for life. Both the lives of unborn children, lives of every living person, that we need to stand up for life, that we need to choose life. And as I began to think about this, I began to realize that God wanted me to take a few moments this morning and extend this concept of choosing life beyond the right of a choice, which I believe in choice. I believe we should choose life. I believe that there's no other choice that's appropriate but to choose life. But I believe that too many times we as adults, we as believers, we fail to choose life. Too many times we choose pain. We choose heartache. We choose depression. God wants us to choose life. Won't you open your Bibles with me this morning? To John chapter 10, verse 10. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. It says this. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Go to the Lord in prayer as we pray this morning. Would you please hold me up in prayer? The virus that many of you have had going around this week, I feel invading my body as we speak, and I'm getting weak, and I'm getting fatigued, but I know that God's got more power than any disease, more power than any virus, so I would ask that you hold me up in prayer as we pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you and I praise you for your power, for your majesty, your peace, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would send your victory, send your strength, and send your mercy. Lord, let your word become alive in our heart. Let your word become alive in our spirit. Lord, let us choose life. Satan, you have come to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, Satan, you are attacking me right now physically. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I proclaim healing in my body, and I proclaim victory over this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to spend a few moments this morning talking about life. We need to choose life. God has given us life and given us life eternal. The verse that we just read says, I have come that they may have life and have it full and satisfying life. That we have what we're looking for. That God would send us victory. I got news for you. I was saved. The first time I remember giving my heart, I was 5 years old. In a blonde wood altar and a kids crusade. After Sister Aldine Brochure had preached a sermon on the second coming of the Lord using black lights and flannel graph. Yes, I'm old. Some of you don't even know what a flannel graph is. But I remember going to that altar and asking God into my heart. I remember as a teenager when God got a hold of me and said, hey, you've been playing the game. You've been playing churches. Pastor Brian shared last week, I was a lukewarm Christian. I wasn't cold by any stretch of the imagination, but I sure wasn't hot. And I was lukewarm. And God says, you've been playing church, as Pastor Brian so wonderfully spoke last Sunday night. Been playing the game. And God grabbed a hold of me and he changed me and he set a fire into my heart and I found his mercy and his grace. I stand before you today and forgive me. I've been sharing this for 4 years in this church. I stand before you today 48 years old. Yeah, 47 years old. Let's not make me older than I am. 47 years old, and I've never drank, and I've never smoked, and I've never done drugs, never cussed in public till I became a pastor. Some of you will get that in a minute. I got married at 23 as a virgin. If you look up Goody Two-Shoes in the dictionary, there's a picture of me there. And people ask me all the time, do you feel like that you missed anything? I said, no. I have had the most joyous, the most celebrated life that I think I could live. If anything in the world, most people know me by one thing and one thing only. They know me by my laugh. If you're going to be known by something, be known by your laugh. Why am I known by my life? Because I have chosen life. Does that mean that I've never had struggles or trials or problems? Man, I can't say that even about this morning. I already told you, physically, I feel my body getting weaker as the day goes by. You may get to see something today you haven't seen much. I'm sort of glad I got a pulpit this morning. Got something to lean on. But I know what it's like to have hard times. I know what it's like to struggle. But yet in the midst of those struggles, I still have to choose life. Life is more than just breathing. Life is more than just existing. God said, Jesus said, I've come that you will have life and have a good and satisfying life. He wants to fulfill us. So there's some things that I want to look at about life today. Four simple things that we need to know about life. First thing we need to know about life is that life was created by God. Let me tell you something. We cannot truly choose life in Christ until we can conquer this simple concept. Life was created by God. Genesis chapter 1, all the way back to the beginning, verses 26 through 28 says this. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. We will never be able to fully choose life until we can grab a hold of the first concept of life, which is life was created by God. I got news for you. I didn't come from a monkey. I may look like a monkey, but I didn't come from a monkey. I may laugh like a chimpanzee, but I did not come from a monkey. Do you know that there is a reason why the enemy has attacked the very concept of creation? Because if the enemy can destroy the idea that God created life, then the enemy is already halfway there to removing God from our life. We live in a day and age. I'm part of one of the early generations that was taught evolution in their schools. I was blessed. Let me back up. My seventh grade year had a teacher who I later figured out was a Christian. Wasn't smart enough to figure it out then, but I figured it out later. And in the school district where I was at, he was required to teach evolution. His first statement on evolution was, "I'm going to teach the theory of evolution." He said, "Evolution is a theory." And he made the next statement, should have let me know he was a Christian. He goes, "Now, I'm going to teach you this theory, but let me tell you, this theory has some holes in it." And the way he put it, it's got some holes big enough to drive a Mack truck through. He began to talk about evolution after the first introductory class. As I was leaving that class, that teacher asked me, "Tommy, come here, I want to talk to you." He says, "You go to church, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." "You believe in creation?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're not shy, are you?" I said, "No." He said, "Would you prepare a few things about creation? And at the end of each class, I'll give you a few minutes just to say a few words about creation." See, what I later looked back and realized that in his system, he wasn't allowed to say it. So he found a student that could get up and talk about creation. And in the seventh grade, I began to teach my classmates that we did not evolve from monkeys, but rather God stood up and said, "Let us make man in our own image." He created us. He formed us. According to Genesis chapter 2, he come down and he took the clay of the ground and the dirt of the fields, and he formed man with his own hands. And then with his own breath, he blew life into us. He gave us life, not because we came from something else, but rather because the breath of God was blown into our nostrils. We can never choose life until we understand where that life comes from. More and more and more and more. We have young people being raised and being taught that evolution is just there. Now, can I tell you the problem with evolution? Here's my biggest problem with evolution. The concept works in certain areas. Things do change to adapt to their society. But they do not change species. Many years ago, I did a 6-week series on creation. Me and my worship pastor. My worship pastor at the time was also a high school science teacher. And I would talk about the spiritual and prophetic picture of creation. And then he would come behind me in the same sermon and talk about the scientific proofs of creation. And there are some animals out there that could not have evolved to where they're at because they would have died before they got there. One of those is a giraffe. A giraffe could not evolve because when a giraffe stands up, his brain is so above his heart that if he did not have this super powerful heart, there would be no blood in his brain and he would pass out and fall over. However, this giraffe that has this super powerful heart to drive the blood all the way up that long neck, much like mine, I used to say I have a giraffe neck, when he bends over to take a drink, that heart would take a beat and would blow the top of his head off because it wasn't fighting gravity. So the giraffe has almost like a sponge in its head. And that sponge fills up with blood. And when he stands up, the brain works off of that sponge. And that way the heart never injures the giraffe. Now, either way, he could not have evolved into that, because either way, he would have died if he wasn't created with that. See, we have to understand that God is the giver of life. Now, when we can understand that God created life, when we can understand that he is the one that started it, he invented it, he made it, he put it together, then it becomes simple to take the other steps and trust him and give to him. But if the devil can steal that first concept, that life come from somewhere else, that life just happened to happen. It just, hey, life. It was not a coincidence. It was not an accident. I like what I heard one guy say. I do believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said it and bang, there it was. This is not an accident. God created life. Second thing we need to understand about life is life is planned by God. Your life is not out here floating around for whatever you want. No, your life has been planned by God. I want you to look here at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. I knew you before you were formed. We're not talking here about Jeremiah being born and God saying, I'm going to choose him. But according to the word of the Lord, before he was formed, before he was conceived in his mother's womb, before there was any sort of life, God had already planned for him. God had already called him. I've come by here to tell you this morning, God has planned your life from before you were born. Me and my wife, this next April, will have been married 24 years. We've had 17 addresses in 7 states. We've been all kinds of places. And by the way, about last week or the week before, somewhere in that time frame, we crossed the threshold to where Chillicothe now is our longest stay anywhere. Last Sunday would have been the 4-year anniversary of God's Got This. It would have been 4 years ago that I preached God's Got This here at this church. We're only 2 weeks away from our 4-year anniversary here at the church. But we've been everywhere. My wife is from New Jersey. I am from Texas and Oklahoma. We've been to Oklahoma and Missouri and Tennessee and South Carolina and Maryland and Delaware and Ohio and back to Missouri. But God knew it all. In 1997, when I brought 25 or 30 teenagers to Chillicothe, Missouri, and we painted the inside of that sanctuary next door, and we put up a sign, and we did something with the bathrooms. Obviously, it was the last time anything was done with the bathrooms, but I tell everybody, I hate even saying that we did anything with those bathrooms, but Pastor Brian is now angry with me. You're the one that did the bathrooms. But we worked in that building. God knew then that the day would come that the longest stay of my ministry would be here in Chillicothe. See, God was not surprised that I came back, because before I was ever born, before I was ever conceived, God had a plan for me. God had already planned my life. Now let me tell you the importance of that. Number one, you're not an accident. Some of you may have grown up being told, Oh, you're an accident. No, you wasn't. You were not an accident to God. You may have been an accident to mom and dad. I love, I read one book one time. He says, I don't believe that there is any such thing as an illegitimate child. Only illegitimate parents. Hallelujah. I'll preach that for a while. Let me tell you something. We need to understand that we are not accidents. See, I know, I remember. I've heard the story. I'm blessed. I've heard the stories. My mom and dad got married in 1965. And my dad was 21 and my mom was 15. I told him if I'd been her youth pastor, you wouldn't have got anywhere near. Dad says, then you wouldn't have been here. But because mom was so young, they said, we're going to wait to have kids. My mom was a pastor's wife at 17 years old. She was the pastor's wife. And at 19, they decided, okay, we've been married a little over 4 years. It's about time to have a baby. And they sat down and decided to have a baby. And my dad knelt down in the living room floor, and he prayed this prayer. He said, God, we believe it's time that we have a child. And what we want more than anything is a healthy child. But if you could give me a son that I could take fishing, that I could raise as my little buddy, he said, that would be great. And God, we just want our baby to be healthy. But if you could let it be a son, and if you could let him be 6 foot tall, because my dad's 5'7". And dad said, I never liked being 5'7". I always want to be 6 foot tall. If you could make him 6 foot tall, that'd be great. And if you could give him a head full of dark hair, because dad's hair was always sort of light colored and sort of thin. Give him a head full of thick black hair. And if you could give him my personality and his mother's looks, said that would be great before I was ever formed. God heard the prayer of my father. A boy was born. Born with a head full of black hair. Still have a head full of black hair. I'm 5 foot, 11 inches, 11 and 3/4 inches to be technical. But everything that you ever see listed to me is 6 foot tall. He also asked that I never have a weight problem. Well, that one sort of went down the tubes. I got my mom's looks, my dad's personality. I'm exactly what dad asked for. Why? See, I heard how that God had planned me my whole life. When I started growing and being tall, and as a kid, I was always skin and bone and skinny, I'd always heard that there was a plan for me. When my boys were born, I prayed the same prayer. I prayed with both of them, God, give me a boy. Never prayed for a girl. I'd been a youth pastor for almost 10 years. I had no desire to deal with a teenage girl. No, it would not be fair to that girl. She would not see sunlight from 11 years old to 31 years old. I said, I want boys. I said, I want them to be outgoing. I want them to be, this is what I said, this is the craziest prayer I prayed. God, I want them to climb on me like I'm a jungle gym. Sit down. I want them to hang on me and climb on me. I want one of my boys. Because I wanted more than one. That was the other thing I prayed. God, give me more than one kid. So I want one of my boys to be 6'4". Because I was 6 foot, but I always wanted to be 6'4". Anthony, at about 5 years old, said, Dad, I don't want to be 6'4". Michael can have that one. Anthony stopped growing at about 5'8". Michael's at about 6'1 right now. He's saying 6'1 and a half. My boys, all their young life climbed on me like a jungle gym. My son Michael still climbs on me like a jungle gym. I said, son, when I have to look up to you, you quit climbing on me. I'm taking time to tell these stories to tell you that you were playing. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. My parents didn't pray like that. No, they may not have, but God planned you. God planned you. God knew what you were going to look like. God knew what talents and abilities He was going to give you. He knew the personality. And can I tell you something that will blow some of your minds? Oh, there's some of you here that are adults. Some of you here that are teens right now. And you're living proof of this. But you're living right now, or you grew up as adults with foster parents. God knew where He was going to put you. You're not there by chance. God placed you there. Because God planned your life. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You have been planned by the architect of the world from before you were born. You want to know why I get so angry at abortion? Because every one of those babies that are taken away from us through a mother's selfish decision. Sorry, I just got to tell you what it is. Every one of those babies that are taken, there was a plan for them. There was a plan for their life. If you're here and you've made that decision somewhere in your life, I'm not telling you there's no hope for you. God can forgive. But I want you to understand, life is planned by God. And it doesn't matter what we face in this life, we've been planned by God. Look at this. It's what Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse 11. God speaking here. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for you. God has planned to give you something in this life. Next thing that we need to know about life. Life is created by God. Life is planned by God. Life is fulfilled by Christ. Without Christ, there is no fulfillment in our life. Without Christ, we have no completeness. This verse that we open up the service with says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus speaking here, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. We cannot have fulfillment in our life. I will go one step further and say you cannot be satisfied in life without Christ. We choose life because when we choose life, Christ is a part of that life. I used to tell my teenagers when I was a youth pastor, many of you have heard this before, there is a God-shaped hole in all of our hearts. And I got news for you, alcohol ain't going to fill it up. Drugs ain't going to fill it up. Boys ain't going to fill it up. Girls ain't going to fill it up. Sex ain't going to fill it up. Work isn't going to fill it up. Career isn't going to fill it up. Money ain't going to fill it up. The only thing that will make your heart complete is Jesus Christ in the middle of it. He is our fulfillment. He is our hope and our peace. He is what brings us together and completes us. In Ephesians, Paul writes this, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. We cannot be complete. We cannot be fulfilled without Christ. Life is only fulfilled with Christ. I get annoyed. I hear people tell me, oh, well, I'll come and live for Christ after I go out and live a little bit. Man, never made sense to me. They would go out and they would drink till they puked. Wake up someplace they didn't know where they were at. Often with somebody they didn't know. And, ooh, I'm living now. They couldn't remember what they did last night. I got news for you. That ain't living. Living is fulfilled when Christ is in your heart. Living is fulfilled when Christ is the one directing your steps. We find peace and we find hope and we find satisfaction when we know that the creator of the world created my life. The architect and planner of all of creation planned my life, and his holy son has fulfilled my heart and my life. He gives us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean that you want a new car so he gives you a new car. It means that he puts in your heart what you want. He gives you the desire. He lets you know what to want. Why? Because he is your fulfillment. He is the one that gives you direction and peace. Last thing I want to talk about, and we need to know about life. Life is eternally rewarded by God. This life is not a temporary thing. But our life in Christ is eternally rewarded. Very familiar passage of Scripture. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God says, I created your life. I planned your life. I fulfill your life. But I want to reward you eternally for your life. When we give him our life, when we come to Christ and we say, Christ, you created it, you planned it, you fulfill it, so here it is, it's yours. It's not about me anymore, it's about you. All of a sudden then, Christ takes that life that we give him, and in return, he gives us eternal life. He says, I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you mercy, and I'm going to give you grace. If you look at this, Colossians, Paul writing to the Colossian church. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is in your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Church, when we give our life and we quit worrying about this life and instead we set our eyes on heavenly, on our eternal life, on our eternal existence with Christ at the throne, we bury ourselves, we hide ourselves in Christ. And when Christ is revealed to the world, we receive and share in his glory. We get the victory of eternity. We can't even fathom eternity. Some of you think eternity is how long I preach. preach for an eternity. No. An eternity is without end. Can you imagine being with God without end? Without end. Never having pain. Never having heartache. Never having depression. He's wiped away all of our tears. It happens because we understand that He created our life. He planned our life. He fulfilled our life. And He has rewarded our life. I want everybody to bow your heads with me this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Tommy,